you like wide receivers and wide receiver play, you've come to the right place. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, as always, coming to you from our amazing studios. And we have a guest who is a great wide receiver himself. He was an unbelievable consensus All-American at Stanford, the Fred Biletnikoff winner. He was Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year. And that's none other than the great Troy Walters, wide receiver coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. And we're going to talk to him about T. Higgins being tagged and what that meant to T. Higgins and how he was such a big, big instrumental force or asset for the organization with respect to that whole dynamic with T. Higgins. And we're going to talk about the remaining wide receivers who are still unrestricted free agents, Tyler Boyd, Trenton Irwin. What are they going to do with those guys? What are they going to do with other veteran free agents? What are they going to do with the draft? What are they going to do with college free agents? A whole big inventory of things to draw from. Coach Walters has an answer for it all. You're going to like it. I know you could be doing a lot of things today, but you made a smart decision to join us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, because we have Bengals wide receiver coach Troy Walters joining us today. And let me tell you something about this guy. I'm sure you probably know, but I want to tell you anyway. When he played at Stanford, this guy's the real deal at the wide receiver position. Consensus All-American, Fred Biletnikoff winner. I mean, big, big-time football player. At that time, it was the Pac-10 instead of the Pac-12, but Offensive Player of the Year. So he's got some skins on the wall, and has gotten into the coaching profession. I remember when I was with the Bengals, my rookie year, my offensive line coach was a guy named Bill Tiger Johnson. And we didn't have, computers to Google and all that, but I wanted to find out what kind of credentials Bill Tiger Johnson had. I came to find out he's a Pro Bowl center for Y.A. Tittle with the 49ers before Y.A. Tittle went to the Giants. So I'm like, I'm listening to this dude. Coach, your players have the same type of situation. I'm sure they're Googling you and everything. Like, man, coach the player. I mean, are they saying, I'm listening to what coach has to say?
Yeah, I kid with them that I played so long ago, they don't even remember me. I played when some of them weren't even born. I'm here at the Combine interviewing some of these receivers that are coming out, and they say they were born in 2000. And I told them, that's when I was drafted. So. They got to go on YouTube and they'll be lucky if they see any of my college highlights there because so long ago. But I was blessed to have a great career as a player, play with a lot of great receivers and coaches and quarterbacks and blessed to be able to use what I learned as a player, as a coach and invest in the guys that I'm coaching and all of them are coachable. They want to be coached. They want to be challenged. They want to be pushed. And so I've been blessed to have those experiences to share with the guys here in Cincinnati.
So you got 8 years, distinguished 8-year NFL career. You were drafted initially by the Minnesota Vikings and, of course, played with Peyton Manning with the Indianapolis Colts and a couple of other stops along the way. But talk about what was the combine like for you when you came out of Stanford. How important was that combine experience for you?
It was a tremendous blessing to be invited, to be included as one of the top receivers, to go to the combine where all the teams are going to be, all the staffs are going to be. It was a tremendous blessing. After my senior year, I actually broke my wrist the week leading up to the Rose Bowl. And so I ended up playing in the game, but I had surgery after and was in a cast for the next few months. So I really was not able to do a whole lot at the combine, but it was good for me to come to get my wrist checked out by the doctors, to go through the medical procedures just so that they knew that my wrist was healed, was strong. It wasn't going to be a liability moving forward. But it's changed. It really has changed. I think now it's more, I don't know if it was on TV, the workouts were on TV. If they were, it wasn't on prime time. Right. So now it's really more commercialized, And they really want to showcase the future of the NFL, which is great for the players. But it, you know, I took it as a business. It was a business trip. You're auditioning, and you want to put your best foot forward.
You know, it's interesting. There's two M's that I think of that are so important. M&M, with respect to the combine, it's medical, like you say, particularly with somebody like in your situation coming off of surgery of any body part. And then also the meetings, you know, the interviews and the interactions and those type of things. I mean, those are as big as anything in the combine. I mean, you want to put your best foot forward there. And it looks, sounds like the medical went well for you. And I mean, you're a highly intelligent guy that makes a great presentation of himself. I bet all the meetings you had with the organizations went extremely well for you.
Yeah, you want to make sure those meetings, you put your best foot forward. You know, you want teams to really leave with a good feel of who you are as a person. The tape is going to speak of how you play, of what you do on the field. But we want to get a good sense, you know, as a coach, a position coach, what type of player, what type of person, what type of character am I getting? Is he going to fit well in our room? Is he, you know, is he going to be fun to coach? Is he going to be a headache? Am I going to have to, you know, keep thumb on him at all times, which as a coach you don't want to do? And so the meetings and just the interaction with the players, that's what I take as valuable as anything coming to these combines.
Now, the combine this year at the wide receiver position, I mean, man, it's talented and it's deep. It's pretty darn loaded. Is this as good a year as there's been in a while at the wide receiver position combine-wise?
Yeah, it's a good group. You know, you look back to 20 – you know, when Chase came out, I mean, there's been some good there. 2021, you know, but in terms of depth, I mean, this is a great class. It has big receivers, small receivers, kind of whatever you need, it has, and it has good depth. So I think you get a good player in the fourth round, fifth round. As you know, once receivers start going off the board early, They tend to make a run on them, and so a lot of them are get chosen in those first two rounds. But I think there's a lot of depth, and you can get a good player even down in later rounds that can help your team be successful.
You got a couple of receivers in last year's draft, Charlie Jones and Yossi Vash. Those guys had roles and expanded their roles really during the course of the season. Your expectations year two after getting year one, that rookie year under their belt, you think there's going to be some great growth there, Coach?
There has to be. That's the plan. It's not the hope, wish. We got to make it happen. Those guys got to come back ready to work. You know, they each did some good things this past year. They each have things that they need to work on to get better, and they understand that. We talked about it before they left the building. And they're excited to get back to work and continue to grow, improve, challenge the other guys in front of them, and be more productive and be more of a, you know, have a bigger role this year than they had last year.
And, you know, I guess at the number 18 in the first round, unless, man, somebody for whatever reason that you had rated in the top 10 or even the top five slides down to 18, you got to actually – you know, think, man, that how can I pass this up? But I mean, it basically you've got, okay, the wide receiver position, how many of them come off the board? Is this number wide receiver better than the third, you know, or edge rusher or the, you know, second or third offensive tackle, whatever the case may be? Highly unlikely, I guess, that a wide receiver would go at 18, but you really, I don't know, I've seen bigger surprises, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's why you go through the process. You know, you rank each receiver, and then you rank all the players with our Bengals rank and just basically, you know, one to whatever. And you know, if there's a guy, a receiver ranked at the top when pick 18 comes, then there might be a chance to take a guy at 18. But, you know, Duke and those guys, we do a good job collaborating and just, you know, ranking those guys and really getting a guy who's a good fit, and who's worthy of that number one pick, and you get and his value too. You don't want to take a guy in the first round that you have a, you know, a second round grade or second round value on. So want to make sure we get value for a guy, and those guys, Duke and his staff, Zach. I mean, they do a good job of determining value and where to take a guy.
You're in the in a hotel room in Indianapolis right now at the Combine as we speak here, as we're doing this this podcast. I know the football IQ is a big deal to you because, you know, you have your wide receivers, they're interchangeable. I mean, you have them, okay, you're not just an X, you're not just a Z, you're not just a Y. I mean, you're a wide receiver, and you're going to be playing potentially snaps everywhere. Is that a big part of the process as you're evaluating these guys at the Combine, not only physically but mentally?
Yeah, it is. It is. We have informal interviews, and you try to, you know, get to know them as a person, character. You'll throw in a little football. After the Combine, you have time where you can Zoom with a prospect for an hour, and that's when we really dive into the X's and O's, what they can retain, what they know, how well they retain, just overall FBI football and football intelligence. But it's very important. You know, we want guys to understand the system, not to be just one dimensional and just play one position. We want them to be able to play all three. You know, with a lot of the routes we run, they're predicated on coverages, safeties, looks. So they could be a two high pre-snap, roll to one high, and that changes what the receiver does. So definitely want guys that quick processors, high football intelligence. Those are the guys that are going to make it, and those are the guys that are going to play a lot of years in the league.
The first unrestricted free agent in the National Football League that was tagged, T. Higgins, by the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're talking about there's a lot of money there being tagged, but, you know, I mean, players are, oh, boy, I'd like to maybe go out and be able to test the market and see what kind of dollars are out there. And, I mean, they have to work through all that sort of thing. How big a role do you play in making sure that T is okay with things mentally? I know you guys have a phenomenal relationship with all your players, Coach. I don't think there's a coach in the National Football League that has a better relationship with every single one of his players in his position group than you do.
Well, that's first and foremost, you have to have a relationship. You have to build trust. I care about him more as a person, as a man, than as a football player, because if those things off the field are taken care of and they grow as a man, then they're going to be successful on the field. And so, you know, we've talked, you know, we came in the league together in 2020.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm proud of what he's accomplished, how he's grown. Obviously, we like to get along. He would like to. I would like to get a long-term deal done. But, you know, there's a lot of factors involved in that. And I told him, hey, 4 years from now, looking back, if you were to say you're going to play, have a 1 year on your fifth year, be paid $21, $22 million, you'd have taken it right then, wouldn't you? And he said, yeah. And so,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to put things in perspective. And yep. And if a deal's not done and he plays with 1 year, then that's the incentive. That's the motive, man. You got to have your best year so that then you hit free agency and you command the money that you want. And so, obviously, he wants a long-term deal, security, but it's still a blessing to get, you know, to be paid $22 million for 1 year.
I hear these tag and trade things, and I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, Duke Tobin has said many times, look, we're not in the business of making other people better. We want to keep our great players, you know. And T. Higgins, man, he's a number one. You have two number one receivers in that room. It's just an incredible dynamic. And honestly, Coach, you're doing a hell of a job, because in almost every scenario, there'd be some kind of catfight, you know, amongst those two number one receivers. And these two guys, I mean, they not only kind of feed off each other as players, they feed off each other as people. I mean, they get along. It's like they're brothers, man.
Yeah, they are. They are. They care about each other, and they are brothers. I mean, they hang out together off the field.
Yeah.
They're unselfish. They want what's best for each other. And so, you know, that's the relationship they have, no egos, and that's what makes them special. And, you know, Jamar wants T to get paid just as much as T wants Jamar to get paid, and they want to be here. You know, T doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. You know, you read all these rumors. He's unhappy. He wants to go, you know, he wants to play in Cincinnati with Joe, with Jamar, the guys around him. He's huge in the community. When he makes a play, the crowd yells T. I mean, that's special. You don't just go anywhere and get that. And so he understands that. And whatever happens, I'm gonna make sure, and he's gonna make sure that he shows up when the season starts and he's ready to play and ready to put his best foot forward and have a great year.
So Tyler Boyd is an unrestricted free agent at this particular time. Trenton Irwin is as well. So you're deciding, okay, what about our own guys? And then what about other veteran free agents out there at the wide receiver position? What about the draft, the college draft? What about college free agents that don't get drafted? I mean, you have such an inventory to draw from. I mean, there's a lot going on with respect to how you're going to fill up that wide receiver room, I guess.
That's what makes this time exciting. You got to be locked in on the draft. You got to be locked in on free agents. You know, some guys, veterans may get cut, salary cap casualties. So you got to be aware of those guys, the undrafted. So there's a lot going on, but it's exciting because you're adding talent to the room. You're bringing maybe some new guys in that you're able to develop, coach, work with. I think anybody that comes to Cincinnati that's a part of the Bengals organization, part of the receiver group, is going to be blessed. Is going to have a great time. Is going to have a great experience. And so it's exciting. And a lot of it depends, is dictated by other positions and in terms of like free agency money. So there's a lot involved in the decision-making process. But to me, it's a great time of year just to try to find talent, hopefully keep the talent that you have on the roster. But if you have to go out and add talent, you try to find the guys that fit what we're doing.
I'd like to ask you your opinion on a guy. He's a tight end, Brock Bowers from Georgia. And I look at this guy, even back in the mid-70s when I was playing, we had a guy named Bob Trumpy, great player, Pro Bowl player and analyst extraordinaire, be a Hall of Famer or whatever. Paul Brown, in his infinite wisdom, said, you know what, we're going to flex Bob Trumpy. And we're going to take advantage of matchups that they put a linebacker out there. We're cooking with gas. And, he's faster than the linebackers, bigger than the safeties. We got a mismatch. And that was before everybody was subbing nickel and dime and all that. And he killed people. So, I mean, he was a big guy that could run and was a good route runner, could sink his hips, get in and out of cuts. And I look at Bowers as a guy that, could provide that type of thing. Not a primary slot receiver, but a tight end that you could flex or even put in the slot. I'd be interested in your opinion. I don't think you probably watch much of Brock Bowers to make that type of evaluation, but is that way off base? Could he be a potential slot guy in some scenarios?
Well, it's hard not to miss, when you're watching college football on Saturdays, and Georgia's on and, he's usually the one making plays. And so he has highlights, but in this league, it's about trying to find a mismatch and trying to put guys in position to be successful. And he's one of those guys that, as a tight end, you can flex out and, like you said, get him mismatched on a smaller safety, or he's faster than a linebacker, more athletic. I mean, he runs good routes. He's great with the ball in his hands after the catch.
Right.
And so in this league, a lot of times the tight end, they stretch the field, but a lot of time they're catching the ball within 8 to 10 yards and making guys miss and getting that yards after the catch. Kelsey, he does a good job of catching those short passes and making a guy miss and creating explosives off of that. So, he can do it all. Great prospect, and kind of we'll see where everything falls.
Because I know, even in the 70s, Paul Brown and Bill Walsh, who was our offensive coordinator at that time, would have Trumpy in the wide receiver room, because he would be formationally in a scenario where, he had to understand what the other receivers were doing. Not that he didn't as a tight end, but even more so, when he was lining up next to or inside a receiver, whatever the case may be, in motioning and all that sort of thing. And I know that's not something that's foreign. I mean, you guys have done it, I think, as a staff, had a receiving tight end, in with wide receivers in the wide receiver room. That's something that's done and going to continue to be done, I would think.
Yeah. And James Casey, tight end coach, he does a great job of as a tight end, you have to know pass protection, run blocking. You have to know the routes, you have to know everything in terms of what goes on offense. And James does a great job with those guys and even asking questions on technique. Hey, What do you think of, so-and-so's route? What do you think he could do? What do you think he could do better at the top? And so we have dialogue. We go in each other's offices and share information. And because that's an aspect of the position, tight ends, route running, that, you have to be great at. And so he'll come in and ask for tips. And he does a good job of just making sure those guys are dialed in on all aspects of the tight end position.
We've talked about this before. But it is so impressive. I mean, I watch you work with your receivers blocking and all the drills that you do specific to that that trait that needs to be executed, and it's kind of underrated. Your wide receiver group is as good a blocking group as there is in football. How big is that when you're in the evaluation round? You can't see on the combine, but when you're looking at tape, this guy will stick his nose in there, man, and get a little dirty. You know, I mean, how big of a factor is that in your evaluation?
It's big. To me, when a receiving core or a receiver blocks, that shows his unselfishness. And so when you get a core of guys that are willing to block a linebacker, to block a defense end, to block a safety, to put his body on the line for someone else, that just shows you have an unselfish group, unselfish teammate. And that's what we're looking for. And so it's important. You got to be willing, which I think everyone, we bring in is going to be willing. Then you got to be capable. I mean, you got to have strength. You got to have some size to be able to go in and block a strong safety who, when he sees you coming, he's going to try to run over you or a linebacker. And so we definitely want to find those guys that are willing and capable. They have enough play strength. They're going to be able to hold up, because we're going to ask our guys not only to run routes, catch balls, score touchdowns, but also to get dirty in the trenches and block and help those running backs create explosive plays.
And I'll tell you, when you see Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins being they're intentional about getting that job done on the perimeter block, and I mean everybody else, not only in the wide receiver corps, but I'm watching tape, I'm like, damn, if I'm a teammate and I'm watching tape and I'm seeing, I'm like, wow. I better step it up. Look at these dudes. Man, if these dudes are getting after it, I better get after it a little bit more. I mean, that stuff gets contagious, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And we take pride, and those guys take pride in being great teammates and doing a job and want success for the running back and the O-line. You know, the O-line gets credit when you run for 200 yards, 250. And a lot of those explosives come when receivers on the perimeter are doing our job and straining and blocking that. And so, and those guys know, we emphasize it. And so on the game day, they go in there and they miss a block. A lot of times they'll look over to me on the sideline and say, my bad. Or they'll shake their head like, yeah, I was supposed to get that guy. And so, or when they do go in and get a good block, they'll look over and they'll see me clapping and fired up and fist pumping and doing, the strong signal, because that's a big block. That's important. Like I said, we want to be great at everything we do. We don't want to just be great route runners and catch pass. We want to be great blockers. Whatever Zach and pitch and the offense calls us to do, we want to be the best.
So let's get back a little bit to this year's wide receiver group in the draft. Is it top heavy? Is it loaded at the top, or is it loaded at the top and then is there depth at various stages of the draft in your estimation at this point in time?
Yeah, still going through it all. Watch the combine guys enough to get a sense of their game and their strengths and weaknesses and kind of confirm that here at the combine. But just my initial impression is it's deep from top to bottom. I think, there's going to be some guys definitely going to first round. There's going to be a bunch first two, but I think you can get some good players still in the third, fourth, and there's enough, you can get in the fifth, sixth that can help a team be productive. Andre was a sixth round pick and he had great production, and we got Charlie later on. And so I think there's still, you get in the later rounds, I think there's still guys, like I said, all flavors, big guys, small, fast, shifty guys that you can find that can come in and help a team be successful.
Your experiences at the combine as a player and then as a coach, is there a combine performance or performances where you were like, what did I just see? Or are there so many of them, it's like, I can't pick because they're all genetic marvels, Everybody's freakish, man.
Yeah, there's so many of them. But, you know, when I was coming out, it was in the old stadium, the soft AstroTurf. And so when I was coming out, it was more, if you ran a 4.4, you were being, that was blazing. That was fast.
And you did.
No, I didn't run at the combine. I had to wait. And a lot of times, when I came out, a lot of times, guys wouldn't run. The top guys wouldn't run. Now, I wasn't a top guy, but just injury-wise. But right. Top guys wouldn't run here in Indy. They'd wait for their pro day because you'd always run faster.
Right.
On your pro day. Now, guys run here because it's a fast track. They're trained. And so now, 4.3, you hate to say it, but that's kind of normal.
That's crazy.
You know, now a 4.2, you know, a 4.2 was like a, you know, if you ran a 4.3 back when I was coming out, you were, I mean, that was jaw dropping.
Right.
That was jaw dropping. Now it's, you know, not as it's fast, but guys have done it. And so, but the guys now are bigger, stronger, faster, you know, so the testing is, they're in phenomenal shape. They go after the season to trainers and prepare for these different drills. And so it's amazing. I tell the guys all the time that they thank God every day that they weren't born earlier than they were, because we had it a lot tougher in terms of just the two-a-days and the contact, the pads. You know, we didn't have you had to take the pads off after a certain time. But at the same time, the athletes today are bigger, faster, stronger, more violent. So I'm probably thank the Lord that I was born when I was, because today it's a, you know, the guys are, they're flying around.
It's crazy. You were a great returner. That was a skill that you brought to the table. Charlie Jones filled a great role for the Bengals. I mean, he took one back to the house from long distance. I remember that one vividly. Are there some pretty good returners in the wide receiver position this year?
Yeah, there are. There are. And that's what I tell guys all the time, that you got to bring value. So if you're not a starter, if you're not one of those top three guys, which a lot of times you find those guys in the first round, to be honest, first two rounds. So, you know, if you're in the third or later, you better add some value on special teams as a return guy, as a core four special teams guy, return gunner, you know, hold up guy, whatever it may be. And that's one thing that Andre and those guys did. They added value on special teams, and that's important. And that's what you really look for as you move down later in the draft, or guys that have good value. Like, yeah, they're good receivers. They can help you, but they also help you on special teams, and they bring value and have a role on the team.
Coach, appreciate you carving all the time. You carved Combine right in that hotel room, and there you are back in Indy. And having played in Indy, I'm wondering if the Bengals personnel and staff, everybody there, and maybe others around the league aware of the fact that you have exposure to the city, everybody hitting you up for, okay, coach, where's the place to eat? Where's the place to grab a drink before bedtime? What are you getting? Are you the kind of the unofficial tour guide of Indianapolis a little bit?
No, because a lot of these coaches, they've been here so long,
right?
You know, that they know the spots, they know where to go.
Right.
So no, but it's a good time to come and not only evaluate and get to know these prospects, but also meet up with your colleagues and some close friends and talk ball and just catch up in a relaxed atmosphere where you're not competing against one another. It's a great week.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I bet some unbelievable ideas are hatched, you know, not just personnel, but I mean, guys talking scheme or ideas or concept. I mean, that's an unbelievable week of football that you're experiencing right now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, people ask me how I'm doing. I said, I'm blessed, man, to be in the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengals organization, here at the Combine. It's a tremendous blessing, honor, and I'm never going to take it for granted.
Well, I know the organization feels blessed to have you coaching up that wide receiver group the way that you do. There's nobody that does it any better in the National Football League, coach, and your players' performances speak to that. So appreciate you. Appreciate everything you do, and thanks for your time today, sir.
Yep, thanks for having me. Anytime you need me, love to come on.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation,
Leadership and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.